We heal ourselves, not others. This is Dr. Herbert L. Barr, Dean of the University of Healing here in Campo, California, with the thought for today. We heal ourselves, not others. You go to the doctor, a medical doctor, and you say, "Doctor, I got problems." And he says, "Here, take a pill." And so you take a pill. And you say, "What's the pill for?" "Well, the pill is to let your body relax while the healing takes place." Is that what the doctor says? No, generally not. The doctor says, "This will make you well." Now, why does the doctor give you pain reliever medicine when you have something that you want to be destroyed? You want to destroy the cause of that pain, right? You want to destroy the cause of that pain. You just don't want to relieve it for a little while. You want to destroy it. And the doctor says, "I'm sorry. There's nothing that is known to medical science that can destroy anything. Whatever we do is we aim at relaxing the tension, relaxing the pain, so that your body can do its natural healing of that condition. Because your body is naturally designed to have everything in its original purity and integrity. But you, by having some negative attitude about yourself, by associating with something that was not harmonious with you," I read further into the statement about Alexander the Great, and it said, Alexander the Great probably succumbed to this bacterium. But he did not succumb to this bacteria ordinarily. Ordinarily, he would not have succumbed to it. It would not have disturbed him in the slightest, except that he was emotionally at a very low ebb. Hear that? Emotionally at a very low ebb, and he had had a spear wound that did not heal and allowed entrance to the bacteria and other things like that. So, you see, we don't know all the stories. We don't know why a person is having whatever experiences they're having. But basically, it's mental. Basically, it is their thought. Basically, it is their imperfect thought about their perfect body. Their imperfect thought about their perfect body. Now, we don't heal others. You have no capacity to heal another person. You might take away some disease, like cancer, from the body. You may remove it, cut it out, chop it out, whatever you do. However, if what caused that cancer in the first place is still in your consciousness, you will have it come back again. Maybe not the same location, but at another location. Maybe the same location, who knows? But the point is, you heal yourself, always. And you say, "Well, if the doctor cuts the cancer out, he's healed you." No, he hasn't. He has temporarily relieved the situation until you have a chance to build it up again and bring it back. Or until you have changed your mind and you say, "I am healed, I am whole, I am whole, I am whole." You say, "I am whole, you say, I am whole, you say, I am whole." And when you say that, you're putting a new cause in motion, and the new cause in motion brings you the healing that you would like to experience. The doctor, as Hippocrates, who's Hippocrates?
The father of medicine.
The father of medicine. That goes back a long way. Hippocrates said, the doctor only keeps the patient alive long enough so that the body can heal itself. Now, don't you understand that? The doctor only keeps the patient alive long enough so the body can heal itself. Now, if you have a belief in the doctor, "Oh, doctor, you healed me. Oh, doctor, I'm home perfect. Oh, doctor, it's wonderful." That's okay. If you believe, "Oh, my body is healing itself now that I've got that thing out of the way. My body is doing a great job. I'm okay," you know, that's okay. If you say, My original purity and integrity is wholeness. My original purity and integrity is wholeness. That's who I really am. That's okay. You see, however you want to return to your original purity and integrity, however you want to return to your wholeness state, your healing state, that's the cause you put in motion. Now, that happens for anybody under any circumstance, whether it's a relationship illness, and that sure is an illness, whether it is business illness, where you're succeeding in business or failing in business, whether it is a bodily illness in you, or whether it's a bodily illness, mental illness, or anything in somebody else. Now, we can heal others. Now, we just said we heal ourselves, not others. Yes, we can heal others. Herb, you are two-faced. You're talking on both sides of your mouth at the same time. We can heal others. Ingeborg, what does a practitioner do first?
First, I heal myself.
A practitioner first heals themselves, and they see themselves whole and perfect. So then you look at the other person, and what has happened to them miraculously?
They're whole and perfect.
They're whole and perfect, so you heal them. Mm-hmm. And you see, you, in your consciousness, see them whole and perfect. So you have healed them, in effect. But actually, for them to enjoy the healing, they must accept it. Now, I can give you, let's say, $1 million. And if you take that $1 million and put it under your mattress, there's no benefit to you. If you take that $1 million and put it in your bank and in your checking account alone without interest, that's no good to you. You can spend it, yeah, but when it's gone, it's gone. I can give you $1 million and you can put it in stocks and bonds and lose some and gain some and perhaps triple and quadruple it in no time. That's okay. But you still haven't had any use from it, have you? You just saw it grow. You saw it sit there. You know, a friend of ours said to us early on in our relationship, yes, I'm a millionaire. I have a couple million in the bank. I have a couple million, not in the bank, but I mean, I have a couple $1 million. And we said to her, that's nice. You know, we believe everything anybody tells us. That's nice. But we had a lot of doubt. We had a lot of doubt because she lived in a very modest circumstance. Not modest. She lived in a pleasant circumstance, but nothing fancy, you know? Okay. Then as time went on, we found that the people in her world were very wealthy. And that she worked miracles all of her life, putting all of her children through college, putting all of her children into high places by her moving them in consciousness there, as well as paying for their education. And you see, as time went on, it became less and less ludicrous that she was a millionaire. It became less and less difficult to believe that she was a millionaire. Because we found out these facts, and these facts supported the fact that she was a rather amazing lady. Okay. What if we had believed her right at the beginning? What if we had just carte blanche said, you're a millionaire? Fine. And not expect her to demonstrate what we think a millionaire should do, you know? What do we think a millionaire should do? A millionaire should do this and that, should have these clothing, should have this type of house, should have this and that. Why? Why? There were two men in New York, and they lived in a lovely house. It was a house that was between houses, you know. You know what I mean? There's a duplex apartment or whatever it was, but they're all built together, you know. Row houses, that I think you might call them. Well, they lived there for years and years and years. And the one man got very sick, and so the other man took care of him. And they died of malnutrition and a few other things, but eventually they died. They lived together 20 years, you know, 30 years maybe. Well, when the police went in and found them, and the house was filled with newspapers from top to bottom, was filled with junk and stuff like that everywhere. Well, the police cleaned this out, and the police didn't, but I mean, this was cleaned out, that was cleaned out, the estate cleaned this and that. And finally, when it came to the mattress, in the mattress they found several $1 million in cash stuck into that mattress that these men did not use. They would go scrounging in the alley for food. They would go, you know, on their night forays in back of restaurants and supermarkets and stuff like that and bring home the thrown out food. You follow me? And they lived, so to speak, okay. But from time to time, they got some bad food or whatever. But 20 years or better. And then they died. Now, would you have looked at those men in their decrepit clothing and say they were wealthy men? No. Would you look at their house and the way it was maintained and say they were wealthy men? They lived in a modest house, but it was a nice house. At one time, it had been a very classy house. And you would not look at them. You see, we have such a sad attitude. We believe in appearances. We look at the appearances of life and we say, that is what it is. So, as practitioners, we're training everyone who comes into our world to see with our eyes. And how do we as a practitioner see? We see everything whole and perfect. If we as a practitioner ever look at an illusion and say it is so, then we are silly indeed. If we are ever a practitioner and look at the illusion and say, that's what she writes. Now, Sylvia ends here. Is one of these stupid practitioners. She's an idiot. She's just a worthless nothing. Ellen was away on vacation. On vacation, sure she was. Ellen was away on giving seminars with me in Europe and stuff. On vacation. And Ingeborg and Sylvia were at home alone, and each were taking care of Ellen's room and what have you. And while Ingeborg, rather Sylvia, was on duty, Ellen's fish expired and just laid on the bottom of the little glass that it was in, the eggplant, the aquarium. Thank you, ma'am. The aquarium is about 5 inches by 4 inches by 6 inches, you know, for this one little fish that only lived alone. And so we said, you can't die, you know, or something of that nature. Yeah. And she says, I'm supposed to keep you alive. I'm supposed to keep you alive for Ellen. Now, come on, wake up. Well, how long was it?
Oh, next day I saw him more.
Well, she said, now you get back on there and get going. And the next day she went in there and he was back in business again.
You know, I bought him even special pills. You know, they said it was good.
So,
he needed them.
You see, this is what we do. Here Sylvia is saying, I bought him special pills, and I bought them this, and I bought them that. We didn't really need them. Well, then, don't mention it. Don't mention it. You see, this is where we get in trouble. We cannot just take the claim, I spoke my word, and it was so. Because that's what a practitioner does, and that's what you did. But the thing is, no, she's got to say, and I did this, and I did that, which I did not do. Well, then don't mention it. Don't mention it, because that is not what you did. You may have done a stupid thing, which was very, very stupid. You doubted for a moment when you went to buy those things. You thought that that might be the healing, that might be the healing thing. And no, what was the healing thing was your word that you had spoken that he's whole and perfect. You see, that's where we are. That's what we're all about. We heal ourselves, not others. And when we heal ourselves, not others, we must remember that. First, we change our own thought. And when we change our own thought, then others are healed. And when we can maintain that consciousness, we will always see them whole and perfect. And that's exactly the way they are. It's a wonderful day. Enjoy yourself. I love you. I love you. I love you.